Let's skip forward. So 1989, I think you're 20 years of age. You're studying. You've got a couple of part-time jobs, a social life that goes with it. You're any normal 20-year-old, except you receive the sort of medical diagnosis no one can prepare for. What happened at this point in your life, Tracy?
So you hit it in, you know, just hit the nail on the head. That time of life as a blossoming into adulthood, which goes forever, as we know, where you've got all guns firing. And you're pushing the limits, you know, studying, working, partying, socializing, being part of a family, burning every candle you possibly can, because you know at some stage some things will slow down and you'll settle. I was having a great time and I was nearing the end of my third year exams at university. I was doing two degrees at once just because what else can we add into the mix?
Jeez.
And I remember vividly that last part of semester. You know, I was literally stumbling. You know, I was feeling unwell. I had a crooked back. I was a fit, healthy human being. I wasn't an athlete at the time, but you know, I was one of the ones that my cohort would say, "Yeah, well, she can burn the candle every end because she's a very resilient human being." My back was in agony. My ribs felt like they were crushing. I couldn't stay awake, and I'd stop partying because it was coming up to exam time. And I had a lump in my neck. And so this is a message for all of everyone out there. If you notice something abnormal, don't wait. You know, don't wait for it to get bigger. And I was a young person, fit and healthy in every other way, but all of a sudden everything said, no, you've got to read these warning signs. Went to the doctor. He immediately expressed the word cancer. Didn't wait, no tests. He said, you know, just prepare. When you go and get this blood test, we're probably not going to be talking about something fun and friendly. Went away, did the test. That was a Friday, next day on a Saturday. For all of those students out there, I lived in a student house. It was a really average house. Paid $25 a week rent, so you'll know what that standard would be like back then.
Yep.
There's a knock at the door on a Saturday morning, and it was my doctor. Now, whenever does a doctor do a house call?
Wow.
So that was the message that basically said, you know what we discussed yesterday? You more than likely have leukemia, and the journey starts now.
Stopped in your track.
Yeah. So isn't the great news that I'm still here, there's three kids and there is a very full life. That journey over that 2 year period from then was like a jail sentence where you didn't know if you were going to come out alive. I did, to the thanks of modern medicine and a wonderful bunch of people around me and some resilience as well, of course, but none of these things happen by themselves. And so, you know, I'm grateful to be able to do what I'm doing and adding value in different ways.
Are those 2 years a blur for you now looking back? I mean, the chemo, the hospital visits, the surgery, the long stints in care. I mean, does it come easily to mind, or is it something that you've buried back in the recesses of your mind?
Oh, it's not. You can't bury, because it was so, it was just so palpable. Many people who are listening and watching have experienced cancer and know someone. We all know someone. The harsh fact is leukemias and acute lymphatic leukemia is one of the cancers that 30 years later, it's still a 2-year chemotherapy course every single day. So there was not a day off in 2 years. And not a day off where you weren't suffering the side effects of a particular treatment or planning for the side effects of the next one. So it was a cyclic approach. So you actually knew what was coming. You knew what was going to happen to your body. And so that mental resilience to be able to withstand what you know is coming was almost as hard as what was going on at the time. So I guess if there was already a resilience at that stage, we got it in spades over that period of time. Very fortunate to have, you know, the physical and mental and emotional strength. But importantly, I cannot underestimate trusting the system, doing what you need to do, and allowing yourself to rely on friends and family to help you, because if now's the time to accept help from others, it's now. Very fortunate. I saw many young people not make it, and I still remember. So you said, is it a blur? No, it's not. You can see how vivid it is. I still remember many times just thinking, can I give them 10% of whatever value and benefit I have, whatever cards are playing on my side, can they have 10% of them, so I can be sicker and they can get there, but we'll both get there. Yeah. You know,
these are people you're meeting along the way, obviously.
Yeah, people you're meeting, people in the same ward as you, people you'd go to visit because you found out about them, and just happened to be a spate of young people in their late teens, early 20s. And it's like, wow, what can we do? Because I can give a bit of my good health and good fortune, and I'll know I'll still get there. That was the hardest part, knowing that not everybody makes it. And we rely on modern medicine and advancements and treatments to help us, and the expertise of, you know, the medical practitioners and research. And, you know, the more we can invest in research, please do so. And I am an ambassador for Tour to Cure, which invests in cancer research. One of the things I do to, you know, to find a way to give back to those who've helped me along the way.